This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Best show.
Hey, Tom, it's Skitch over in Newbridge Wharf. How are you tonight?
I'm good, Skitch. How are you?
I'm good. I won something once.
You did? You did. What did you win, Skitch?
Well, I didn't win. I got third place.
Okay.
When I was 10 years old. Do you know what punt, pass, and kick is?
Punt, pass, and kick. That's like a football skills thing, right? Is that what that is?
Exactly. It's kind of self-explanatory. You punt the ball and you pass it and you kick it like a field goal too. So you're judged on those three criteria.
Yeah.
And I got third.
You got third.
I did.
I don't know if that's.
I got a trophy.
You got a trophy for what?
It's the best trophy too. It looks gold and it looks like an Oscar.
Okay.
And I have something to. I've never actually. Admitted this, but I think I'm a big fan of the show, so I might as well come clean about it. Is that okay?
Oh yeah, please, Skitch.
I cheated.
You cheated.
I did. Yeah.
How did you cheat in the punt, pass, and kick competition?
I used a motorized ball. Why?
Uh-huh. And how does that work?
Well, my older brother, he made it, and basically. It was very, it was crude. You would crank it up. It had a crank on the side of the ball.
Okay.
But the crank was clear, so the authorities couldn't really see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would, as you passed it, you would hit a little switch on it that turned the crank. And then that the crank also, that fed into these little wings that were on each side of the ball, so it would take it further than all the other kids' balls.
Uh-huh. And no one noticed the wings or the crank on the ball.
No, because all that stuff was clear.
Because that's right, it was clear.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody noticed that the ball made a sound, I'm assuming?
No. You know why? Because as soon as it went in the air, my older brother, he let off a packet of firecrackers every time. Every time I did anything with the ball, it was like it was without fail, firecrackers.
So you'd get the ball, and it's time for you to pass it.
Mm-hmm.
You cock the ball back, your arm
right.
back. Your brother quickly lights a row of firecrackers.
Mm-hmm.
Sets off an explode like a and then you throw it, which covers up the sound of the football, which was like what? What was the sound of the football?
Well, it was, I don't know if you remember this judge. What was his name? Judge Montgomery Davies?
That's right, yeah. He was a judge in Newbridge who was
mm-hmm.
a scandalized judge, I guess you could say.
Yes, it turned out he had this device under his robe that he would operate, and I guess he got some sort of sick pleasure out of it.
Yeah,
and the sound... The device made was likened to a loud whoosh followed by a resounding thud. So it was like that, but amplified. So it was just like whoosh, 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 and then when it would land, because it was weighted down, it would go boom. So it was whoosh, 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 boom.
And that was covered up by the sound of the firecrackers.
Exactly. Yes.
And you still only came in third.
I came in third, so I beat the S out of my older brother because I thought, I took a huge chance on this. And
yeah.
It only get me third place?
Yeah. Yeah, what was he thinking?
I don't know what he was thinking. We haven't spoken since, really.
And how long ago was that?
Well, I was 10. He was 15. Okay. And we lived in the same house till I was 22.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was weird.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you know,
definitely.
Look, those are the things you got to mend fences over, maybe.
It's true. We still watch TV every night together. Speaking of...
Yeah.
Did you see this week's episodes of The Other Two and Crashing?
I saw The Other Two.
Which I like.
I like that show. I think it's a very funny show.
Yeah. Well, if you didn't see Crashing, I should tell you, they both had scenes in the same week where somebody was doing the exact same flagrantly erotic thing.
Uh-huh.
I won't say exactly what it was because I know it's a wholesome program.
Oh, yeah, we're trying.
Yeah. Well, I know you used to be a grip on a TV game show, so you're my insider into the TV world here.
I think you might be off base. I was not a grip on a game show. No, that's inaccurate. I have worked.
Were you
on
Best Boy?
No, I was not Best Boy either. I've written and produced on TV shows.
You're kidding? Really?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know
why
you think.
I'll write it down because I'd love to see your stuff. I'll write it down just to remind myself. Well, anyway, this is even better now that I know you were a higher up. My question is, in terms of today's TV, is yanking your crank while watching a video on your laptop the new getting mowed down by a bus out of the blue?
You mean just that because it's been happening a fair amount on TV?
Yes.
And there was a run for about 3 years where every show had someone standing in the street talking flush to camera, like and just like dead center of the frame.
Right.
And then a bus or a truck would roll in and just knock them, like hit them.
Out of the blue. They knocked them out of frame.
Right out of frame, yeah. Top speed.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
It's still going on today.
I think it's a very fun effect.
I can't get enough of it.
I laugh every time I see it.
Yes.
I don't laugh. I got to say.
No,
I gasp.
It's not funny.
I gasp, then I laugh. Whenever they show the person get back up.
Appropriate.
And shake it off, like, woo, woo. Then I like laugh. It. Then I can exhale.
I'm just glad this crank yanking thing just started now. Because can you imagine if like your favorite shows, if that was happening, like if Michael Landon did it on Little House while he has his earbuds in?
So he'd have like wooden earbuds, I guess.
I guess so. I never thought about that.
Back then. Would he need it? He wouldn't. He might. I'm not even going to ask about a dongle. Never mind. You'll just turn it into something.
I absolutely will because I do that whenever anyone mentions the concept of the dongle.
Yeah, that just set you're off to the races then.
I am. Yeah. But you know, I said I was into the other two. I'm now getting into Crashing because now that we're down from 26 to 13 current TV shows about the behind the scenes world of the stand-up comic, I like it better. I feel like I have less overload.
Sure, there's just less chaff, I guess you could say.
Yes.
Now the cream's rising to the top. Now finally,
absolutely.
With just 13 shows documenting the inner workings of a very narrow profession.
Narrow? No, I mean, judging by all the shows about it, it seems like everyone's doing it.
I think everyone who works in the field is on one of the shows.
I think you're right. It must just be easy to do stand-up.
According to these shows, I think it's the opposite. Because these people seem like it's a living nightmare.
Oh, no, you're right. This one guy had to do the unthinkable.
What's that?
On this last episode. Well, I mean, he was a headliner. I'm never going to believe this. This guy had to what they call middle.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So he had to start middling after being headliner.
It's like the worst thing that can happen to a human, apparently.
Yeah, I guess. Now, this must be like a two-parter, of course. Like, they couldn't fit all the drama of that into one episode, I'm assuming.
You would think so, but you're wrong.
So they fit all the stuff in?
All of it, yeah.
Uh-huh. They fit all the anguish and just psychological torment of having to adjust your status as a stand-up comic.
Yep.
Wow, that's gripping.
It's heavy stuff. It's real heavy stuff. Hey, you know what? I wanted to bring this to your attention. I don't even know if you're aware of this, but I just was so shocked by this. I saw a real-life version of that tweet you tweeted last year.
What tweet did I tweet last year?
It was a tweet where you said something like, you'd only be interested in football when someone celebrates a touchdown by doing a podcast in the end zone.
I do remember writing it, but wait, you're serious? You saw a real-life version of that?
I did, other day.
Where did you see that?
Well, there's this new football league called the Alliance of American Football. Mm-hmm. And it was their inaugural season. Mm-hmm. And this past weekend was their first round of games.
Okay. So what exactly happened? What did you see?
Well, the game was between the Orlando Apollos and the Atlanta Legends.
The Atlanta Legends.
Yes, yeah. That's a fitting name for Atlanta, right?
But I also think it's maybe jumping the gun on a on a new...
Should I?
It's a new league.
Right.
Made up of players that couldn't cut it in the NFL.
You can't prove that.
Oh, they're legends, though. Okay, I get. Look, who am I to judge? I can't play football.
Well, maybe you can someday.
Maybe I can if they're starting new football leagues.
So the wide receiver for Orlando, he catches a pass.
Yeah.
And, you know, he scores and he's in the end zone.
Yeah.
And he's all excited. And just then, this super tall other wide receiver for his team gets down in front of him and he forms a human table.
Okay.
And then this big Orlando lineman, he gets on his hands and knees and gets behind the human table, and he forms a human chair.
Okay.
And then the player who scored, he pulls out a studio quality microphone from his pants. Like, he had it in his pants the entire game.
Uh-huh.
And he plugs that into this laptop that another player had down his pants the entire game. Okay. And then they hook it up, and then that player, he starts recording the podcast on GarageBand.
On the laptop?
Yes, and this is all going on in the end zone.
Okay.
And then the player who scored, you know, he's the host of this podcast.
Uh-huh.
He starts rolling, you know, he puts his headphones on, too. He also had some headphones in the back of his pants. And he announces that they're going to talk about this pretty interesting topic. But then he starts talking about the most mind-numbingly boring minutia of what he did that morning before the game.
Uh-huh.
And he's talking about the route that he took to the stadium and how he got stuck at this light behind this truck that had bad exhaust. Mm-hmm. And, like, he had to roll up his windows because it was too much. And it was just so boring. But you could tell it was endlessly fascinating to him.
Sure, sure. He reveled in every detail, I'm assuming.
Yeah, of his own story.
Yeah.
So he also did this other thing that I'm sure you've heard in the podcasts out there where you know, he talks about how he kept getting recognized at a recent podcast convention.
Uh-huh.
And it's said in this way where he sounds very humble and he's super confused by it, by that it even happened, but it's clearly a boast. It's what I call a humble boast.
A humble boat. Okay, then is that a thing you came up with?
I did, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I'm trademark that.
Yeah, you should.
And then he breaks out this incredibly original hot take.
Uh-huh.
That he's terrified of clowns.
That he just doesn't like clowns.
Yeah, which of course is something that would maybe have been semi-funny 35 years ago, but today it's like saying I breathe air.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because clowns, Uh-huh. Okay, so this is what he's talking about.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
And how long is this going?
Right now, I mean, I think we're up to the 10-minute mark.
Okay.
And so at this point, he breaks for a commercial for Snark vacuums.
For Snark vacuums, I have one of those. I have one of those Shark vacuums. Those are really solid vacuums.
No, not Shark vacuums. Snark vacuums.
Oh wait, I thought you said okay. Snark.
Yeah.
What is Snark?
Have you heard of these?
No.
Oh well, it's just like a regular vacuum cleaner, but it makes fun of you and your house while it does its job.
How does that work?
Like it's programmed, and like say you're vacuuming, and it'll go, oh wow, nice shag carpet. What is this? The set of Playboy After Dark? What time is the Lovin' Spoonful playing?
Uh-huh.
Something like that, I also heard one that goes, do you just like take the popcorn out of the bowl and place it under this ugly couch?
Wow.
They're pretty funny.
Yeah. I know a couple. Are there different settings on them for like different comedians for the snark?
There are. Yeah. Yeah. Some are really kind of basic, you know, and like, almost, I don't want to say Christian, but they're very harmless.
Okay.
You know, and some are really raunchy. Like there's one setting.
Uh-huh.
Dice.
There's an Andrew Dice Clay setting on the snark vacuum.
And then there's one above that that's 80s Dice.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sure there's a few words that he wouldn't do in his current act.
Yeah, he's and one of them, like, I'll censor myself, but it's like, hey, I'm over here by the refrigerator. Looks like everybody was dropping L's over here.
Uh-huh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Right.
There's not like an Andy Kindler one, is there?
Oh, there is. Yes. Yeah. And it's like something I haven't heard this one, but I had a friend told me about it, and it's like, I guess you didn't get the memo to sweep back here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's what the vacuum says.
Yeah. You know, you're really funny. You could probably program it. What would your Andy Kindler one be?
If I was doing if I was writing for the Andy Kindler setting on the snark vacuum. It would be kind of like, I'm vacuuming right now, and it's like one of my shows. It's one of my shows. It sucks.
I like that.
Like, or you just be kind of like, there's more. They usually paper the house for my show, but now I'm vacuuming up paper.
I seriously think you should get in touch with the manufacturers and be a programmer.
Well, you know, fingers crossed. I can throw my hat in the ring if anybody.
I'll see what I can do.
Uh huh. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've got some juice in some areas.
All right. Well, I'm glad.
Oh, that didn't come out right.
Yeah, that sounded a little weird.
That was, you know, that sounds like the dice setting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, getting back to the podcast.
Yeah.
So. Then, the podcast host, after they come out of the commercial, he has a guy from one of those old late 80s hair metal bands call in. So he's like hooked in he's hooked that up. He can call in. And I thought it was going to be interesting, but it was really hard to listen to because the host did that thing where he thinks he has to react to everything the guest says, like, right, right, oh, sure, like after everything, so there's never a rhythm established.
Like nobody can ever get, like the guest can never get a thing going because the host is making sure nobody forgets that he's there the entire time, yeah.
Perfect way of saying it. And he kept inserting himself into the interview where he had absolutely no right to. Like, for example, the hair band guy said that he lives in Nashville now. And the host ended up talking for 3 minutes about when he went to a training camp in Nashville and he got lost trying to find the Parthenon one day. And he just kept talking about how hot it was and he couldn't find any water, but then someone gave him an Italian ice.
And it had nothing to do with what the guy was talking about.
Zero.
Yeah.
Just nothing. Nothing. And then at one point, the guy in the hair metal band says that he really likes Greta Van Fleet because they're the only new band out there playing rock and roll. Yeah. Yeah. And then he told these really embarrassing road sex stories. And I tell you, man, he said, you have to remember this was before cell phones and the internet at least 8 times.
Did he say it in a voice where he says, has like this odd kind of like chuckle to himself? Like, you got to remember this is before the internet and the...
Exactly.
This is before cell phones and the internet.
Yeah, like a more deranged Eddie Trunk.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And, I just kept going on about that. And I'm just so tired of these guys. All they can do is, recall their calcium days, It's like, it's 2019 now.
They're what?
Their calcium days.
What is a calcium day?
Like the good times when things are really great.
Halcyon? You sure that's not the word you're trying to say?
What is it?
Halcyon?
Spell it.
Halcyon?
Nice try making up a word on me.
I wasn't.
It's calcium days. Because when you think about back then, people had more dense bone structure when they were younger.
I don't know about that. That sounds misinformed.
Well, we could argue about it all night.
Yeah, we're not going to, though.
I can. I got nothing going on, really.
Okay. Well, I'd rather not. I'd rather not argue about it all night.
All right. Well, I'm just tired of these guys living in the past, just talking about their old glories. I mean, like, you don't hear me constantly talking about the time I beat the S out of Mike Tyson in 1988, do you?
Wait, what's that? Tell me about that. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, when I was, I was 13, I guess. Yeah, I was 13, and my dad took me to see Mike Tyson train. You know how, like, you could go see, I don't know if they still do it or not, but you can go to, like, a boxing training camp, and you can watch a pro train. And he has sparring partners that he spars with, that kind of deal.
Uh-huh.
So my dad takes me to that, and Tyson's training for the Spinks fight. This is Michael Spinks.
Mm-hmm.
And after Tyson's done with his sparring partners, my dad asks Tyson if he could get a photo of us. And, look, I love my dad, but he was an odd bird, and his hobby was meeting a famous person and then asking them for a picture.
Okay.
Not a picture of my dad with the celebrity, but a photo of my dad taken by the celebrity.
Hold on, wait. It's a photo of just your dad.
Right.
Is that how I'm understanding this?
Exactly, yeah.
But it's taken, the celebrity operated your dad's camera.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's very strange.
Yeah, because there's no way anyone but my dad knows the story of the photo.
Yeah. That's
so he can never really, like, show anyone and be like, you're never going to believe who took this photo, because no one is going to believe it.
Because there's literally no proof.
Exactly. My dad has photos of himself taken by John Wayne, Paul McCartney, Groucho Marx, Melanie Hutzel, Mother Teresa, you name it.
That's a diverse lineup there.
It is. All titans.
Yeah.
So anyway, my dad wanted Tyson to take our picture, but Tyson, of course, you know, he just didn't get the concept because it's so weird. Mm-hmm. But he did say he'd be in a photo with me. And so Tyson gets next to me, and he does that fake sparring thing, you know, where he's kind of like acting like he's punching me in the face and stuff, and he's tapping me, and then I start playing along, and I start gently tapping his face with my fist. But then, for reasons I'm still not sure of, I started fully and flagrantly wailing on Tyson's face like it was a speed bag.
Uh-huh.
And he was totally caught off guard, rightly so, and he didn't know what to do. And I'll tell you, it was like Ralphie punching the F out of Scott Farkas in A Christmas Story, only I did say fudge, because my dad abhorred profanity unless it was coming out of his own mouth. So I'm going, you fudging dill hole, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Tyson's corner men, they didn't know what to do either. You know, do they jump in and throttle this child or what?
Yeah, they're thrown.
And all the while my dad's just snapping away.
Uh-huh.
And the photos are just insane. And eventually one of Tyson's security guys, he pulled me off. And so Tyson, he was humiliated because this, you know, I was wailing on him. But he was pretty banged up, too. And if you'll recall, they almost canceled the Tyson Sphinx fight because Tyson, I'm using air quotes here, got the flu.
Okay.
But that's not what happened. He almost canceled because I turned his face into a car wash.
Uh-huh. That's why he almost canceled the fight. It's because you...
A 13-year-old boy.
Yeah. Went off and just beat... Basically, a 13-year-old boy beat Mike Tyson up.
Yeah.
Huh.
Crazy stuff, right?
This is a strange story.
It is, yeah. So anyway, getting back to the Touchdown podcast. At this point, the host and the hair metal guy, they just can't get a rhythm going. They keep talking over each other, and then one guy would stop talking, and the other guy would too, and then there'd be this five-second pause where no one's talking. And then they'd both start talking at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they must have done this seven times, and then it was just unlistenable. And at this point, the ref couldn't take anymore. And now we're at the half-hour mark.
So the game has been held up for a half hour as this guy does his end zone podcast.
Yes, yeah. And also the guy he's sitting on is just he's over it, too. And the guy that's being the desk is over it, too. And the ref just, you know, blows his whistle, and he signals – for the guy that has the laptop, that player, to upload it, and he does.
Okay. Well, they got to it then, I guess. They
did.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's basically what happened. So I thought you might find that interesting that your tweet actually came to fruition.
That's very interesting. I had no idea that actually happened
mm-hmm.
in real life.
It did. It came to fruition.
Fruition.
What's that?
That's the word you're trying to say, is fruition.
I don't think so. Oh no. Whoa!
What?
I just got a message. The wide receiver that had the end zone podcast?
Yeah.
Well, he just asked me if I'd be his next guest if he scores tonight. He's playing again tonight. And although I just trashed him unmerciful, I'm going to do it because why wouldn't you want to be on a podcast, right?
Yeah. It's pretty rare air to get on a podcast. If you have a chance to grab that brass ring in life, you should just do it.
Well, I'm going to grab it because he just scored.
Well, there you go, Sketch. I think you should get out. You should get down there, and by all means, come up with a story. Start it at a point that isn't the beginning, either like way before it should start or halfway into it.
Okay.
Forgetting that people don't know the people you're talking about when you tell.
Ooh, okay.
Act like everyone knows who all these people are, even if they're people that you barely know.
Okay.
Talk about them and just talk about things that were funny that wouldn't translate, that like would just kind of die outside of a very small circle of people talking.
These are all great notes.
Yeah, well, I think you're gonna have a great time on the podcast.
Okay, thank you. Namaste, podcast brother.
Oh, right back at you, Chief.
Sketch out.
Okay, Sketch. We'll talk to you soon. There you go. Sketch. You like that, Mike? You like Sketch? I like Sketch.